Thursday done and dusted. It was a bit cloudy, a bit wet, but that's all right. I'm dry in is that a drip? No, it's all good. I'm dry in studio. Today on the show, though, spoke to Chris Russell from AgriMiners. Great little chat. Dizzy in Dizzy's kitchen was back for another time. Some International Women's Day stuff as well. It was very exciting, very fun to deliver it. I hope you enjoy listening to it on the Triple M Sean for Breakfast catch up on your device or laptop or computer or wherever you're listening to it. Bye.
Across Esperance, Sean for Breakfast.
It's either incredibly romantic or a little bit creepy. That's The Police, Every Breath You Take on Sean for Breakfast. Esperance at 7:47 Triple M. It's 25 minutes to 7. And we do this probably about once a week. It's called Who Is Funnier. Basically, I get a comedian, and this guy, he is huge. His name is Donny Glover. He's released number one hit singles across the world. That song, This Is America, he sings that. He also does stand-up. He also stars in the television show Community. He thinks he's funny, but is he as funny as me? Who is funnier? You decide.
I gotta be honest. I'm sorry. I'd much rather have AIDS than a baby. Seriously, people get all upset when they hear and say, think about it. They're not that different, you guys. They're not that different at all. They're both expensive. You have them for the rest of your life. They're constant reminders of the mistakes you made. And once you have them, you pretty much can only date other people who have them. What's the difference? What's the difference? The only difference is you can't go to jail by accidentally dropping AIDS.
A bit of a risky joke. And you know, yesterday they actually cured a man of AIDS, the second man in history. That's not the joke. That's just a little fact that I threw in there. But now it is time to decide who is funnier. That was Donny Glover. And now I am up to the comedy plate. Hey, did you hear the joke about the man with a shocking memory? Nah, I can't remember it either. Tough. My heart. My bleeding heart. This is The Animals. More about contracting next. In this.
Across Esperance. Sean for Breakfast.
Feels good. Sean for Breakfast. Esperance is 7:47 Triple M. And because it's a breakfast program, we enjoy looking at food. And to do so, we like to talk to Dizzy and do the segment called Dizzy's Kitchen. We've got a very special edition today. We're crossing live to Dizzy. He's shopping at Woolies now in Melbourne. Mate, where are you? What aisle are you in?
I am supermarket agnostic, but I am at a Woolies today. I've just found myself. I missed the tram stop for Coles. I'm joining you live.
How very exciting. You're buying some food for dinner. What's cooking in Dizzy's Kitchen this evening?
Mate, I've actually got a beautiful green curry paste at home. I'm just getting some ingredients to supplement that beautiful green curry paste. Do you want to hear what's in my beautiful little basket, or do you want to ask me any kind of questions?
I'd love to hear about your basket goods, but first of all, so we're going just a paste from the supermarket. This is not from scratch, obviously. Just this is a disclosure for the listeners.
There's some foundation principles, I guess, with a curry, especially if you've got the paste, because that does a lot of hard work for you in terms of spices and all that flavoursome punch. The foundation principles are you've got to get some coconut milk,
yep,
and you obviously want some vegetable stock or chicken stock to obviously complement that that coconut milk and curry paste. So that obviously gives you all the soup or the curry soup, I guess you want to call it.
Yum. Curry soup sounds good. Yeah. Okay. And then
curry soup.
And then we're talking, the best kind of soup, best kind of curry. Combine the two, you get this delicious meal. What vegetables have you got? What's in your basket?
Gee whiz, mate. This live feeder is, I found myself in the cooking utensils aisle. I better get it inside. But, mate, I've got some, mate, the ingredients I've got here is I've actually got a bit of pumpkin. So what I'm going to do is I'll dice that. I've got some cherry tomatoes. I've got a red capsicum. I've also got some firm tofu, organic, of course.
Okay.
Like that beautifully sourced organic tofu.
Yep.
I'm actually going to use udon noodles, which are great for stir fries and soups. And then I've also got some broccolini here.
Wow.
Capsicum, cherry tomatoes, and then I've also got some nice veggie stock.
This Thai green curry has some serious character, a bit of spunk to it. I like the broccolini. What are we doing here? Are we cooking the pumpkin first separately, and then where do we go from here?
It's a bit of an explorative piece, this curry. You'd obviously just maybe add the tofu and brown that up, make a bit of golden.
Ooh.
Once that's golden, put in the curry paste, then the can of coconut cream, and then a cup of that vegetable stock, or 2 cups if you want a bit more soup there. And then once that's all stirred in and you've got a bit of a curry going, you can obviously add in the capsicum, the diced pumpkin, and the broccolini and cherry tomatoes. I like to have the cherry tomatoes whole. And once that's all in there and you get a bit of simmer going, transfer that to an oven at 200 degrees. So that's in a nice cast iron pot. And then you can expect that all to be ready in about 20 minutes. And I will add an additional thing you can add in there as well. If you want to put some greenery in there, so some green leaves and some kale or something like that, you can dice that up and throw that in with about 5 minutes to go in the oven, and you've got this beautiful oven-baked curry.
Yeah, that's delicious. When are we adding the noodles? Or is that the noodles goes in and prepare them separately?
You got me, mate. You got me. Thank God for you, eh?
I was thinking about the carbs.
Obviously, yeah. So the noodles take about 4 or 5 minutes in a pot just with boiling water. You don't need salt or anything like that. Once they're ready, you just obviously drain them, let them set in a nice and dry up in a bowl, and then you can obviously transfer and serve so with the curry, or so you can put in a few containers out for the lunches tomorrow and go for it.
Mate, I'm salivating. I love it. And what drink we're pairing this with? A nice red wine? Or that's probably not right, is it?
I think a sparkling water with a bit of lemon and a bit of apple cider vinegar. This one is all about gut health.
It sounds absolutely amazing. If you want that recipe, then I'll give it to you. Just check out the Triple M Esperance webpage. And speaking to Dizzy, live from Melbourne at a Woolworths there. Exciting stuff. Dizzy's Kitchen for this week. Thanks, mate, for joining me.
Problems at all, mate. And, g'day to the listeners.
Across Esperance, Sean for breakfast.
Rolling Stones there, 7:15 on Sean for Breakfast. Esperance is 7:47 Triple M. They're speaking, or singing rather, about a honky-tonk woman. I don't even know what a honky-tonk woman is, but we are celebrating all the great local women this Friday. Tomorrow it is International Women's Day. What a great segue by me, by the way. And what I've been asking, basically all the interviews I've done over the last few days, I've left the record button on just for a little bit longer and asking the question to a few of my guests, who are some of the more inspirational female figures from around town? This is a collection of what I've got so far.
Oh, Sally Ashbill, I think, as I like to call her, Auntie Sally. She's a bit of a legendary woman in my eyes. I've known Auntie Sally for many years now. One of my first jobs here was in health, and we used to do what we called community profiles on positive people.
Yep.
That acted, belonged and commit, of course, which is the mental health campaign.
Yep.
And Sally was one of the first ladies that I interviewed, and a fantastic example of somebody who acts, belongs and commits, and is a great and valuable person for us to have in the community.
I'm thinking of Marg Agnew.
Yes.
Marg has been involved in the rural industry in Esperance for many, many, many years.
She kicked off like the Rural Women's Network,
exactly,
or something, didn't she?
Exactly, yeah.
For our neck of the woods, connecting these women who are isolated on farming, properties.
Yeah, that's right. And she's always been a very level-headed person.
Calls a spade a spade.
Yep. You know,
spade
a spade. Yeah, exactly. But level-headed and in a practical sense. And I really admire women who aren't overly emotive in that they go, no, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. You know, that's
practical.
And logical.
Yes. As well.
Oh, there is actually. I won't give the name, but a beautiful friend of mine since I've been in Esperance. A very special, strong-hearted, beautiful girl.
Cool. And that last one, that anonymous female from Esperance, that could apply to anyone. So I thought I'd leave that in there because there are many, many great women around our town. Just then we heard about Sally Ashbill. She's been in this studio a couple of times. She is amazing. Marg Agnew, who I haven't met. There's others that come to mind. Flora Yeltsman, Bronwyn Rowland, Victoria Brown, our Shire President. She's an amazing woman. Marianne Harris, Natalie Bowman, Belinda Lay. These are all role models of our community. Outstanding inspirational women, and we're going to celebrate them all tomorrow. I've got a very special show, but if you want to have a shout out as well, I'm sure there's plenty of other, Carmel Cree is someone I've been told I should try and talk to. If you've got any inspirational and outstanding ladies of our town, please get in contact with the show. If you go to the Triple M Esperance Facebook page, there is a post there saying International Women. It is from Tuesday. Find it, get in contact and message, and then I'll try and speak to them before tomorrow. It is going to be a very special show. I've got a special guest who will be co-hosting the show with me for its entirety. Finally, someone I can banter with. It's just not my stupid voice talking. It's going to be exciting. It's happening tomorrow. Tune in from 5:30 a.m. We've got some U2 coming up for you. Also, the Little River Band, a couple classic Triple M hits. Stick around. You're on Triple M.
Waking up has never felt so good. Sean for breakfast.
Three Dog Nine, Sean for breakfast. Esperance at 7:47 Triple M. And a shocking story emerging from Perth right now. A 41-year-old has been charged with two counts of indecent assault against a 19-year-old man in Claremont and an 18-year-old man in Northridge. Police are describing the crimes as opportunistic and said both the younger men were in a vulnerable state when they were picked up. Now, this is only the story. This is all allegedly at this stage. The boys accepted lifts from the 41-year-old and then were basically allegedly taken advantage of indecently. It's very scary stuff. That in Claremont really resounds with me because that's where I used to hang out. I used to enjoy a shandy or a Midori there, and sometimes I wasn't very responsible. And I think it's an important lesson. Obviously, if you're a female, this is a heightened risk because of obvious reasons. Always be with your friends. Or never drink too much. If you're going to have that fifth Midori, or perhaps you want to have that sixth Cosmopolitan cocktail, just say no. And more importantly, stay with your friends, be with someone at all times, and never, ever accept a lift from a stranger. You learn that when you're 3 or 4 years old. Never jump in the back of a car with a stranger. Obviously, these guys were intoxicated or in a vulnerable state, so it's a bit hard for them to make good decisions. So maybe don't get into that state in the first place, but otherwise, if you can avoid it, don't jump into the back. And it can happen to males as well. And the scary thing is about this story is police raided his home, and there's some rumours and whispers that allegedly this man could have assaulted up to 40 different males. So it just shows it can happen. Just be careful. Let's jump into some more music in just a little bit. Coming up next, though, what do you think is the most polluted and dirtiest city in the world? I'll let you know that after Cold Chisel, Triple M.
Across Esperance, Sean for breakfast.
Sean for breakfast, Esperance is 7:47 Triple M. And one of the new and great podcasts out at the moment is the second season of AgriMinders. Season one, if you haven't listened to it already, get onto podcast1.com.au and find it. We spoke about this last week. The first few episodes are about climate change, which is a very, very contentious, I suppose, and controversial issue. And another issue, which is probably just as controversial, is genetically modified crops. I've got Chris Russell. He's the host of AgriMinders on the line. Chris, how are you?
I'm great, thanks, Sean.
And season two is underway. It's been out for about a week now, and you're receiving comments, feedback from across the globe.
Yes, I am. Well, I've had some comments this week, including a 1,000-word email I just got from a professor in America, particularly in this area of climate change. But I think GM is just as contentious. You know, there's a strong school of thought that says we shouldn't be fiddling with nature as we are seen to be doing with GM. But there's an equally strong school of thought that says this is one of the most powerful tools we have at our disposal. And when you consider that we don't know how to produce 70% of the food we're going to need over the next 50 years, how many babies can we throw out with the bathwater?
Well, that's it. And with GM as well, I think it is an issue where a lot of people just don't know enough about it. You hear genetically modified, you think changing of genes, and you think of science fiction and awful things that your food growing legs and attacking you with their small little fists. But really, it's nothing like that at all. And this is a great opportunity to get the information out there.
Well, that's right. I mean, often GM is really, I describe it as being the difference between watching the lotto draw and hoping your six numbers and two supplementaries fall out of the bottom of the drum, or whether you're allowed to put your hand in the drum and pick out the numbers you want. And that's often the difference. The end result is exactly the same. You get the same six numbers. It's just whether you do it quickly or whether you wait for it to happen by chance. And that's often the way GM is. But there is a kind of a fear there. There's also an element of, you know, this is one of the mysteries of God, how he makes all these crops and humans shouldn't be mucking around fiddling with it. Now, I think, you know, there is always a risk with GM. You might create something that's dangerous. Yeah. So what I've really done in this episode is just explore exactly what are the risks, how do we test it, what's the process, and why have we been so paranoid about sort of preventing some of these technologies, which are clearly revolutionary, like, for example, Roundup Ready wheat and other crops like that. Why have we been so slow to adopt those, and what's been the cost of that?
Yeah, and because realistically, a lot of fruits and vegetables would be crossbred anyway. I mean, I'm pretty sure most citrus fruits come from basically four basic citrus fruits. So we've been mixing up fruits and vegetables for years, and yet when we do it by our own hand, yeah, people do get very concerned very quickly.
Well, and there's some examples on there. I talked to Professor Robert Henry, who is in the office of the Gene Technology Regulator, which is our regulatory authority here in Australia. Exactly about some examples of things where we've actually ended up getting exactly the same particular crop, but it's taken 15 years to get there, whereas if we'd done it by gene splicing, we could have done it probably in a year. And in the meantime, maybe we've had three or four famines, lost half a dozen crops, and so on. So, but, you know, there are intricacies in this. You know, what do we need to be careful of? You know, what are the risks that when you start taking genes from one species and putting them in the other, can it create something really weird? And it's interesting to actually hear these experts who have been working with this all their lives, exactly what their view about that is.
So who are our agri-minders, who are our experts, just quickly, so we give us a bit of a taste?
So I've spoken to Robert Henry, who is, he's actually the director of QAFI, which is the Queensland Alliance for Food Innovation up in Queensland, a very productive organisation in innovation. And he's also a member of the advisory board, the technical advisory board for the Office of the Gene Technology Regulator. So very influential and knowledgeable agri-minder in that area. And then I spoke to Dr. Danny Llewellyn, who has been working in Canberra. And he's really, in some ways, the elder statesman of GM in Australia, because he's been involved particularly in developing these cotton crops, which you now don't need to spray with insecticides, because the protein that kills the particular caterpillars actually grows within the leaf rather than having to spray poisons on the outside of the leaf. So they're my two agri-minders, and they're the two probably greatest experts currently in Australia.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting about the cotton farming as well. So during the course of this investigation that you've done through all your interviews, you're no closer to feeling like that genetically modified crops could end up with ears of corn with ears and things like that?
Look, I've read Day of the Triffids, John Wyndham's book, you know, where we get invaded by walking corn plants and all that sort of thing. But look, really, we are masters of our own destiny. We understand the genome. So I think so long as our testing, my impression from this is that you can be reassured. But you need to make your own mind up. You need to listen to these experts who it's their job to actually make sure we are safe. Mm. These people we're talking to on AgriMinds, AgriMinders, and I think that they can give us some assurance that, you know, really we're not going to all end up being attacked by armed corn plants in the near future.
I guess there's worse things to be attacked by. I'd rather be attacked by corn than wolves. But anyway, that's another topic for another day. I've been speaking to Chris Russell. He is the host of AgriMinders. Season 2 is out now in its entirety. So if you're going along a drive, download it from podcast1.com.au. Chris, it's been a pleasure as always this morning.
No problem, Sean.
Listen to Sean for Breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.
And don't you just wish summer was back, or this cloud, this autumn weather? Really, you know, it's that sad disease, seasonal affected disease. We want the sun back. Otherwise, listen to Sean to brighten your day. It's Sean for Breakfast tomorrow from 5:30.
Sean for Breakfast catch up on Triple M.